This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Pass it, and he goes, well, normally that's what would happen. He said, but Bill, you have a very small urethra. I said, well, you know what, Doc? It's kind of cold in here.
Don't miss Billingvol, live for two shows Saturday, February 22nd, Gold Strike Casino Resort. Tickets on sale now at goldstrike.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Data message rates apply. National contest. It's new money in the new year. Every hour from 8 a.m. through 5 p.m. at the top of the hour.
How do you pay, man? If you don't write checks, how do you pay these guys?
Straight cash, homie.
Win a G, $1,000 in straight cash, homie. Money, money in 2020.
More money.
And right now, get a G.
This hour's code word is fun. Text FUN, F-U-N, 72881 within the next 60 minutes for your chance to win $1,000. You need to text FUN, F-U-N, 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. It's new money in the new year. Get your money right now. Text the word FUN to 72881. And don't forget, if you miss a word, simply go to 92.9 FM ESPN on the radio.com app and use our rewind feature. We're the only station that actually has that. FUN is the code word. New code word coming your way at high noon.
We're brothers. We're happy and we're singing and we're
It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Presented live and locally by the Wing Guru. The Wing Guru.
Who that? Man, this what you been waiting for. I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating, no, because now I'm getting hot enough to with one of Satan home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television. And did I fail the mission? Your girl is hot, a missionary, boy, you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrated, finger poke whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn, then I redecorated. That means my table turned. Live life, might as well. Only way to learn is try and fail. Clients are the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that? That got that flame. Who that? That got that flame. Who that? That got that flame. So don't worry about my name. I got a flame.
All right, you're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Welcome to your Wednesday. It's hump day. It is January 8th, and one thing I know in this 2020, John Mark, is the Grizzlies may not be back in the playoffs, but this is a good young team, brother. The Grizzlies win again last night. My gosh. And yesterday, John Mark and I are sitting here and we're telling you to just revel in it. Don't start thinking playoffs yet because you're setting yourself up for big disappointment. Just have fun. Right, in the wins that do come, and my gosh, John, the wins are coming by the bushel these days. Memphis Grizzlies get a 119-112 win over the Minnesota Timberwolves. John sweeping them for the season. Do you remember just weeks ago when it wasn't just, I don't think it was just our show, but I think most of us as Memphians were talking about, you know, kind of some dream lineups, some fantasy lineups of Ja and Jaren, and you want Wiseman, you want Anthony Edwards. It seems like a very short time later here, a few games later, dude, that seems like the farthest thing ever because there'll be none of that. There'll be no choices like that. This team's too good, John.
You're right. I mean, unless they get lucky like the Lakers got, right?
I guess you could. What, you end up 13th, 14th, and you jump up in there or something?
Yeah. I mean, they had the fourth worst odds, I think, in the lottery, and we know what happened there. But, yes, no, you're exactly right.
This thing's getting conveyed.
The Grizzlies continue to win, and I do think that that will be a great thing if that happens. You have to say, you know, you're done completely with what you owed to the Celtics after this season. That's certainly an element of it. If you sneak into the playoffs again, I mean, we're in January. This feels like a long way away. But you're
maybe
within
you do,
you're within
maybe
striking
you keep doing
distance.
What you're doing.
You're within striking distance.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no doubt.
It's phenomenal, one way or the other.
Yeah, there's no doubt that the Grizzlies are much better at this juncture than we thought they would be. There is
that's
no
the
doubt
bottom
about
line.
That. Yeah. And I think that there you cannot go wrong in saying that. So we have a big show planned for you today. We'll talk about what the Grizzlies are doing. At 11:25, Tony Barnhart's going to join us. He, of course, is Mr. College Football. We have a lot to get to on the college football front. Obviously, on Monday, LSU and Clemson will play a pretty important game.
Yep.
Great matchup of QBs.
Something's got to give. Burrow's so good.
Something's got to give, Jason. I mean, one team has to win. One team must win.
Trevor's never lost. I mean, something real is going to give here. Like, Joe's been on an unbelievable roll. Something's got to stop. Trevor's got to lose. Something's got to happen. Something's got to give here, John. So I'm looking forward to this one, maybe more so than even in years past.
I agree. And so that will be an interesting game. Memphis, obviously, is making a little bit of noise here. Ryan Silverfield is the coach. We'll get his thoughts on that.
That's right.
And it sounds like they are zeroing in on a defensive coordinator.
Saw that news yesterday.
Mike McIntyre, mm-hmm. who was the DC at Ole Miss. I want to say he was a head coach somewhere.
Former head coach at Colorado and San Jose State.
That's him.
But it's the Colorado one you probably remember.
I'm almost positive.
He's there 5-6 years, I want to tell you.
I'm almost positive Tom Bowen hired him at San Jose State, just to give you a little bit of
I think you're dead on there. That'd have been his first head coaching
full
job.
Full circle, yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah, Tom Bowen hired Mike McIntyre at San Jose State.
And I did a little homework for you. How good was Mike McIntyre as the defensive coordinator at Ole Miss last season? Well, they were 42nd in the country in defensive efficiency. Again, that's not an Ole Miss program that was – I mean, they just fired their coach, obviously, Matt Luke, going hire Kiffin. But that's not so bad. Top 50 defense last year for Ole Miss in a down year, clearly. So well thought of, and I think it was Pete Thamel that said he's become the – sort of emerged as the lead target for Silverfield as the DC.
Well, I did a little homework for you.
Oh, did you?
Uh-huh.
You coming with some too, huh?
Yeah. Did you know that Mike McIntyre played at two different schools, Vanderbilt and Georgia Tech?
Now, why would I know that?
Yeah, I did a little homework.
Yeah, I did. What did you really add with that one, though?
Well, just to give you an idea of
I'm impressed.
Well-traveled.
You dug, but you didn't add nothing.
Are you really impressed?
I'm going to keep it real.
Are you really impressed?
For you. Thank you.
No, but that'd be a great hire because
heck yes.
You know, he also coached in the NFL, you know, back in the day. He was a DB coach in Dallas. He was a DB coach with the New York Jets. So this is a well-traveled football coach who's been around some of the greats. So.
I'm sure Tony Barnhart would be impressed.
Yeah, so we'll talk to Mr. College Football about all of that. Also get his thoughts on the Mississippi State opening and Joe Moorhead.
Yeah. What y'all going to do, Brad?
When we
Sark Vegas.
When we talk to Tony Barnhart next. We're going to also be joined today by Mark Giannotto. You know Mark Giannotto. He's the sports columnist over at the Commercial Appeal. He's the host of Giannotto and Jeffrey.
Out here peddling that playoff hope. And, you know, he looks good today, I tell you.
He does look good.
Mark Giannotto is shining today because he's the one telling you, believe, playoffs, Grizzlies.
He's printing the towels down there.
I mean,
let's go.
A role sometimes I've had here when you're trying to, you know, get everybody
That's
to
right.
kind of believe with you. And he's taking
sometimes.
That upon himself. So
That's
he'll
right.
be feeling good, I imagine, today.
So,
this team's rolling.
Mark Giannotto is going to join us at 12:25. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies. Also, he had a tweet, or he just retweeted Matt Norlander. Bruce Pearl is crying out, man. Bruce Pearl needs your help.
For what? I mean,
Bruce Pearl says they won't call him for the big game. They won't put him in the big games.
What are you talking about?
Nobody will schedule him. That's what he's saying. Well, I got an idea, and as does Mark. Memphis, basketball, home and home. Great. Done. Signed, still delivered.
We were saying that before they announced that they were playing Georgia this year.
Yes.
That would be a great matchup if you put
– they might actually because isn't it a multi-year deal with the AAC and the SEC?
I hope so if it's not. Yeah, I think we know that it is, if I'm not mistaken.
I think
we
Penny
got
did say
down.
The other day that they're going to go back to Georgia. I guess that's their partner. That kind of stinks. But, yeah, if you could
– especially next year.
If the Tennessee series is coming off, replace with Auburn. I mean, that to me feels like a no-brainer.
Tennessee series shouldn't come off.
Yeah.
It should not.
We will talk to Mark Giannotto about all of that at 12:25. 1 o'clock, we're going to be joined by former Oakland Raiders quarterback, former Cincinnati Bengals quarterback.
That's really how you going to describe
former Arizona Cardinals. Yes, former Arizona Cardinals quarterback and Heisman Trophy winner, Carson Palmer.
Start there.
Carson Palmer
Cincy.
Is going to join us at 1 o'clock. We'll talk to him about the Titans, about Tom Brady. All of that and more with Carson at 1 o'clock. He'll be here on behalf of the FedEx Air and Ground Awards.
How many wins he get with the Raiders?
Oh, man, I think 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
And yet and you introduced him first as former Raider, Carson.
Now, I'm going to be honest. I don't.
It's funny how you do that.
I don't hold Carson in the highest regard. I mean, because we gave up a lot to get him, if you recall. We gave up a first and third to get that dude off the couch.
Why would I recall?
Well, it set us back.
That set you way back.
And then he decided he was going to go to the Arizona Cardinals and be awesome. Okay. You know, well, what is it about the Arizona Cardinals?
Hopefully you've forgiven him enough that you can talk to him for a little while.
Carson He's and been great Kurt Warner, I mean, they all go to the Cardinals at the end of their career and have great years.
Only question was, will you ask him a Raiders question? We'll see.
Stay tuned. And then at 125, Anthony Sane will join us in studio. We'll talk to him about the Memphis Grizzlies. He covers them for the Sports Illustrated and Maven. So we'll get his thoughts on the Grizzlies and what they're doing.
He discovered DeAnthony Melton as well, as you know.
Yes, he did. I saw everybody was arguing about that on Twitter during the break. Who discovered him first? Now, there were some who claimed they knew as soon as he exited the womb that he was going to be the Grizzlies starting two guard. Don't know. We'll get Anthony Sane's comments. He apparently heckled Jeff Calkins last night at the game as well.
Oh, cool.
So lots to get to with Anthony Sane at 125. So that's today. We are obviously very busy on the show today, but we got to start with your Memphis Grizzlies. Can I get a growl, Brad?
That thing's a lot stronger than we thought it was going to be at this time this year, isn't it?
Yes, there is
no
doubt about that.
That growl's a lot stronger than we thought it would be at this time this year.
There is no question about that. As of right now, they've won three games in a row. Ja Morant continues to look like the rookie of the year, you have to say. Who is second?
Kid from Miami. None. Even though he's old.
The other kid from Miami?
Tyler Hero?
Yeah, Tyler Hero? No?
No.
You picking him over Kendrick Nunn right now?
No, but I mean the point is there's no clear.
No, you were right. There's some separation.
I mean,
but
there's a
Tyler's by third.
There's a huge gap.
I think it's 2-3 with those Miami boys.
Right.
Either way you want to do it, doesn't matter.
I agree with you.
One is the guy that's here.
There's a huge huge gap right now in the rookie of the year race because he's right here in Memphis.
He keeps widening it too.
He really does.
Like last night. I mean, again, you know, Dylan Brooks. Let's give him credit too, because what he gives you 28 points last night. He's been a phenomenon against Minnesota this year, averaging 28 points per game against Minnesota this year. That's three games. You got three wins. But Ja and Jaren down the stretch were the absolute story. And there, when it's a 1-point game, after Covington cuts it down with a 3-point play with less than a minute left, and what have you got? You got Ja going to the basket. Right, getting past Culver in this instance. A rookie who's had a great game, by the way.
Yep.
Blows by him, gets the patented, what's becoming a patented scoop layup. All of a sudden, you're up three. Then after Melton gets you a big rebound, it's Ja again. They throw the double team at him. Well, who does he find? He finds Jaren Jackson there for the mid-range. And it's your young stars making the right plays down the stretch. That's like, well, my gosh, this kid, rookie? No, he doesn't play like one. And here's the other thing. That because we were talking about this, and the other thing from watching last night's game, it hits you over the head. Is remember when we were talking about, well, this team's winning, but it's weird. You'll get one night where Ja's good, one night where Jaren's good. Why can't we get them together playing well? And now all of a sudden, it's sort of become the norm now where these two guys at the end of games are finishing games together and playing well together. It's happening, John.
It is happening.
Right before our eyes, you're seeing them look like now, like they played together for a couple of years.
Well, and that is the most important thing. Because when the season started, it felt like you said, they could not, for whatever reason, they weren't on the floor together.
We're looking at Taylor, like, what are the reasons for this? And when will this materialize? And frankly, it's materialized so quickly, like it's come over us like a fast-paced storm, you know, where it's all of a sudden the storm's over you, it's right there. And this is happening right now, and that's the surprising part, is how quickly this has developed. The tandem itself, how well they're playing together, the trust that's there, and frankly, the decision-making. Because and a lot of that's Ja coming in first year as a point guard, because that ball's in your hands, and making game-winning plays down the stretch at this age, again against these teams, against a Minnesota team that wanted to beat you last night, even without Karl-Anthony Towns. You've embarrassed them twice. They want it. They don't want to lose a third game, get swept by the Grizzlies for the season. And it got every reason. That's part of the reason why you're down double digits in that game, and you find a way to win it with some young guys. It's exciting to watch. There's no doubt about it. And at some point, I may have to jump on with Giannotto and start thinking, I'm not ready yet, because, again, I'm so pumped just in this, just in the development, the wins you can get. I know it's going to get tougher. That road's going to get tougher, but it is certainly exciting to watch. And I don't know if you – how, if you're a Grizz fan right now, a true Grizz fan, how you're not excited about the development you're seeing of these young guys.
Well, if you remember, what were we talking about to start this season? Like, what was the narrative before the season got underway? It was, it's not about the wins and losses, right? Like, that's kind of what everybody
was saying. Not
about
wins and losses, only about development of these guys. Yeah. And you figured it wasn't going to be a fast enough development to get them anywhere.
Right,
that you're going to have a top three pick, and you're picking, you know, one of these, you know, LaMelo, Ball, whoever.
Yeah.
Edwards, Wiseman.
You know, this was a total rebuild. Yeah. I mean, that's what the Grizzlies were embarking on, right?
And it wasn't just us assuming that, John.
No,
I want to make that clear. That was all of us.
That was the organizational's time. You know, that make no mistake. Like, the organization probably went into this knowing that, hey, we're doing the best we can with what we have. You know, we draft John Morant. We got Jaren Jackson Jr. We're trying to draft well, and Brandon Clark as well. But it's going to take time to build this thing out, you know?
I mean, not have thought it would come together this quickly.
And it has come together. And listen, they're still you know, they're
right. It's not all
right. Right. There's still six games under 500. You know, like, I mean, we're not talking about a three seed in the West here. But there is no two ways about it. This, it has come together much quicker, you know, than I think anybody would have anticipated at this juncture. I mean, with the over under on the season was what, 33, something like that, 32, 33 and a half.
They're right on there now. There might be a little pass pace for that to go over that, on pace to go over that.
Yeah. And so I think the biggest thing is, look, do I expect them to be in the playoffs? No, I do not expect them to be in the playoffs. I mean, over the, you know, the second half of the season, deals are going to be made. Teams are going to try to get better. You know, I don't think the Grizzlies are a playoff team.
I still suspect you're trading Jay Crowder.
Yes.
Like, those things are happening.
However, all the things are happening. Ja is developing. Jared is developing. They're developing together.
10 in the fourth last night for Ja. That's sort of been his MO all year long. 11 in the fourth for Jaren last night. Like, after a game where he's struggling a little bit. And last night, I think it's three threes he hits in the fourth, including that sort of mid-range bucket that puts the game away. And, again, these guys that, hey, does that look right together? Sort of what we're asking ourselves early on this season. That ever gonna? When's that going to fit? When's it going to come together? And it's happening right now. And so, again, you can ask yourself, okay, look, they're what, only a half game out, well, full game out, whatever it is, out of eighth place. I want to think about that. I want to think about playoffs. But I'm telling you right now, the story is this team is certainly ahead of schedule, and how just a few short weeks ago, a couple of months ago, we were convinced that this would be one of the worst teams in the NBA, and you are so far from that now, John, where I'm literally forgetting the names of the top three guys that are going to draft.
James Wiseman, Anthony Edwards, and I guess maybe LaMelo Ball. Yeah, I guess.
He's still projected one right now.
Yeah, so just to give you a quick refresher.
I'm joking, but thank you for the refresher.
Watched a little Anthony Edwards last night.
I'm
hot and cold with him, man.
Did you see Trae Young and Quavo were in the building to watch him last night?
I did not see that.
Yeah, with all their shine. And Trae Young was actually, like, doing a live of Edwards dunking the ball right before the half.
Yeah.
Like, they're total fans.
I can go either way on him as a prospect. Like,
Wait a minute. You can go either way on Edwards?
Yes. Like,
man, this is recency stuff. Like, this kid's not shooting the ball well against Memphis and them last night in the second half.
I don't like how passive he is or how passive he can
be. Passive?
Like, he can be passive.
Did you see him in Maui?
Well, like, yeah, that was earlier this year. I'm saying what's happened in the last month or so.
Well, he's probably trying to get the rest of his team involved, too. I mean, it's probably not the best thing for them. He just goes off for 37, 38.
Well, his team stinks.
Well, they're not.
I mean, I would try to not get them involved.
I don't know about stinks. They had a chance to beat Kentucky. And they're coming off a road win at Memphis that was pretty impressive. Stinks is a little far. That said, they're not going to be top three, top four in the SEC.
Yeah, I mean,
so I'll go with that. Stinks a little strong.
They'll be lucky to make
the
tournament.
If they stink, then Memphis probably shouldn't be in the top 25. They don't stink.
Well, they almost came out.
That's stanky.
They almost came out. Do you think they're a tournament team?
They're going to be right there on the borderline. Because what they don't have is any bad losses.
They don't have any good wins either.
Memphis.
I mean, yeah, okay.
But we're going to talk about that today. That got a little bit overplayed, too, in the sense that don't they still have a couple of quad ones? Like, Tennessee hadn't dropped all the way off.
Tennessee came back in.
Right?
So
NC State's still a quad one.
They have two quad ones.
So that's a little
right
overplayed. Now, what you don't have, and Parrish has pointed this out, too, is certainly a KenPom top 40 win.
Right.
Win over a top 40 team right now at KenPom. You don't have that. So you can make the same case, kind of like Georgia.
I thought NC State was in there at 38. I guess they came out.
I thought NC State's like 44.
They are 44. Yeah, so they're just outside the top 40. So listen.
But you can get
you need some help. Yeah.
You literally can get that starting tomorrow with Wichita State. We're getting off task.
But yes,
now. We're talking about Anthony Edwards and what you thought.
But you love the size. You love the size, and you love the
He's coming. What's funny is Grizz ain't coming anywhere near him.
Well, they probably aren't.
I'd say.
Right, they probably are not, and that's a removal from what we dreamed this season would look
and
like.
And that's okay.
No doubt.
Like I was so dead set. John and I were having arguments about Wiseman and Edwards. We were so dead set. Now forget the. We were convinced it was going to happen. That's kind of where you're in the mix for. No, some things got to line up. You got to get the luck right. But the point was the record will look bad enough that you'll have a chance to be down there. And the fact that you're this far away from it now, John, I think they're tied for 13th in terms of from the bottom. You look at Tankathon. Yep. That's how far they are. Remember, 1 through 6 conveys. So you want, but you could jump in there still. That said, dude, it's the farthest thing from it now, and I think the sort of the moral to this thing, the theme is it's okay, right? Those of us that had our hearts set on a Wiseman or an Edwards, now it's okay, and here's a couple of reasons. They're developing at a faster rate. We're seeing that every night they play now, right? John, this draft, others, some of us have wanted to get this Boston thing sort of off their necks for a while now. That's a good thing. And look, you could look at it this way too. And others have made this point. It's a good one. A lot of times you don't get two players that are going to be a part of your future going forward in one draft. And the Grizzlies did that last year with Ja, we think, and Brandon Clark. Brandon Clark's been phenomenal just as much. He wasn't a big part of last night's, huge part of last night's win like these others were. But he's been a big part of this season. And to get two that you feel like you're pretty certain are going to be a part of the future in one draft, that's kind of like getting another one this coming year. And so I'd put it that way. It's okay, right, to not be in that point. Just keep winning. And if you keep winning to a point where Giannotto's right and you really got a shot at these playoffs, man, go for it. Again, I'm happy with the way things are right now, though.
I will also say, too, that I think it's okay in the same spirit. Like, it's okay still to enjoy this season for what it is without making it about the playoffs.
Well, I'm still there.
You know what I mean?
I don't want to let down.
Right. I think it's totally acceptable and okay, and maybe even suggested to enjoy this Grizzlies season for, hey man, like they're ahead of their schedule. Like they're playing better than we thought they'd play.
It's not so much about just staying away from letdown, because I'm all about swinging for the fences. It's more about I don't want that to become the expectation for this team.
Right, because that's not it.
Because it never was.
Right.
And it shouldn't be. Let's be real. Just because it should not be, right? So that's the part. I'm not scared of disappointment. You should swing big. You should go for the big one. That's part of life.
No doubt.
Absolutely. Take the big risk. My whole point is don't let that now, because we have a tendency to change goalposts around here.
Yes.
Don't let that now become the expectation if they get close. Oh, this team better make the playoffs. Oh, all I see is playoffs now. That'll get you in the wrong frame of mind. And frankly, it's unfair to those guys.
It
if
is.
They make it, oh, man, it's gravy
in
this first year. But to change that and all of a sudden it gets so ingrained in your head, they can make it, that it becomes the expectation, that would be a disservice to yourself.
Jason, when I came home, in the rare occasion that I would come home as a kid with a B in math, you know,
that was a C. These are lies.
Don't let that become the expectation.
Mm.
I am not supposed to be getting Bs in math. Everybody understands that I am average or below average in math. So don't let this one sort of event, this one incident, become the precedent or the expectation.
Is that what you, that's what you told Mom?
Yeah, like this is an accident, okay? This is a happy accident. I don't know how this happened, you know? And that's kind of how I look at this Grizzlies season. It's not an accident.
It's a happy accident.
Very much by design, right? Very much by design, the way they've drafted
and
the way they built the roster.
Like you lucked in. You're going to take Ja. But picking up Brandon Clark where you did.
No doubt. Trading up to
get
him.
Shrewd move, baby.
That was shrewd move. That was all by design.
Absolutely.
So the organization, this is not by luck. This is, some of it was luck, but you know what?
Not by accident.
You know, it's where preparation meets opportunity. That's luck. That's what they say luck is, where preparation meets opportunity.
Look like you stole that from someone.
And that's just one of those cliches out there. And that's what has, I think, happened and resulted for the Memphis Grizzlies. And as a result, they're 16-22. They're just outside the playoffs. They have a game with, you know, the San Antonio Spurs on Friday, you know, which could, you know, maybe sneak them in. In January.
You got me. You took me back to one. What was Josh's, the proper preparation and
meets poor performance? No, proper preparation prevents poor performance.
It's beautiful.
It really was. You can tell.
You memorized it.
Yes.
I see. You could tell I didn't have it. I didn't have it's the 5 P's or something.
Yeah, the 5 P's. I don't remember any other. You know, he used to do when you called his voicemail, he used to have all these sayings like Ralph Waldo Emerson. He used to have all these different sayings he would put on his voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember any of them. But I do remember that from his opening press conference.
Man just went into North Carolina and won.
He did.
Got Roy saying, we're not very gifted.
He did, Davroy, saying that. I would probably say that too.
When though. Josh comes into your home, you start questioning yourself and your friend, your program.
Oh, yes.
You know, I mean, he got Roy just back stumbling right now. We're not very good.
I would honestly, if I was Roy Williams.
Miss Kansas, this is North Carolina's coach saying we're not very good. This is not a very gifted
team. The press conference would start and end like this. We suck. No questions.
Is Josh going to last forever at GT?
I think so. Mm. I don't know what their grade situation. If they have a high GPA, yes. If that team has a high GPA, yeah. You know, and they're not going to.
It's the perfect spot.
It really is. Like he'll be good for one weird ass win every year against a really good team. Mm-hmm. Not that North Carolina's a really good team, but like he'll have a win against Syracuse.
It was more than that his first year. He'll give him credit where it's due.
He'll have a win against North Carolina. You know, like he will be good for one of those every single year. And so I think that will probably be enough to at least, you know, get him through, you know, 2024 or something.
Who's next on the Grizzlies hit list, John? San Antonio Spurs on Friday. I'll answer that for you.
Yeah, that's that.
And Memphis owes them. Last time they were here, LaMarcus Aldridge came through here and went berserk. Yeah. I think it was a 30-point win for San Ann. They couldn't miss a shot. So all of a sudden now you got a young Grizzlies team that's won three in a row. Probably be motivated again on Friday to really, you know, to crack back, to get some revenge against the San Antonio team that handled them the last time. So keep winning, Grizz. Man, go for it, man. Giannotto out here peddling that hope. He and may end up being right. Playoff team, huh, John?
Yep.
Free seed?
Exactly. Three seed. We'll ask Giannotto about that, 12-25. Okay. He likes him as a three or a four. But
I like the wins.
It was a nice win last night for the Memphis Grizzlies, and they're rolling right now. There's no doubt about it. All right, we will come back. Tony Barnhart's going to join us. We'll talk to him about college football and more on the other side. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You've heard of the Carpenter Art Garden, right? And all the wonderful things it does for the underprivileged young people in Binghamton? Well, now the Carpenter Art Garden hires kids from the neighborhood as staff. That's due in part to a grant from Triumph Bank. And this summer, a group of volunteers from Triumph Bank will be working with the Carpenter Art Garden to teach a 6-week course on financial education and literacy. Think about all the things you know that you take for granted. How to set up a checking account, how to use a debit card, how to budget, and how to save. Triumph Bank understands it's impossible to build any kind of financial future without these basic skills. So they've put together a team of volunteers, which includes the CEO of the bank, Will Chase, by the way, to make sure the kids at the Carpenter Art Garden have the knowledge and the access that they need. That's why Triumph Bank is a different kind of bank, and that's how the people at Triumph Bank treat everyone who steps through their doors. So go to their website at triumphbank.com. They're invested in the community and in making banking easy for you.
Flo here with a word that's just weird. Terry cloth. Who exactly is Terry? And why does he get his own fabric? Did he journey below SPF 50? Fight off some weeds and his daffodils? How about a word for everyone? Flotection. Yeah, I just made it up. But I'm not making up how great it feels when me and Progressive protect your new home. Ever think of that, Terry? No. Terry only thinks of himself.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Credit Karma can help you make financial progress by giving you free scores, reports, and monitoring. But Credit Karma does not give you the love that only a mother can. It's just an app.
I miss my mom.
But you can use Credit Karma to help you improve your credit. But it cannot solve the eternal question surrounding the human condition.
Oh, come on, I need answers.
But signing up is free. No credit card needed. Just download the Credit Karma app now. Credit Karma. Here's to progress.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hi, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And as promised, he is Mr. College Football. You know him, you love him. He is Tony Barnhart. He joins us now. Hey, Tony, how are you?
All good, guys. Getting ready to go to New Orleans here.
Yeah, excellent. This championship game, I mean, it could be one for the ages, huh?
Well, yeah, when you look at it, you feel like a lot of points are going to be scored. You got two great, great quarterbacks, and you got NFL guys all over the place. So, and oh, by the way, LSU's playing 80 miles from their campus, and I think they'll show up. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Which quarterback would you roll with?
Oh, you got to go with Joe Burrow until somebody beats him. Mm-hmm. Now, nobody's beaten Trevor Lawrence either.
Right.
But you're talking about the Heisman Trophy winner who's had a season for the ages. You're talking about a guy who's completed 77.8% of his passes this season and could set the all-time NCAA record for completion percentage. So he, I ain't betting against that guy. But Trevor Lawrence showed against Ohio State that he's got a few things. But I got to go with Joe Burrow.
There's no doubt. Hey, Tony, are you a little bit surprised at all that Joe Brady's name hasn't come up for many head coaching jobs? I know there was some interest here, a little bit of interest at the University of Memphis. Or is he just a little too green, a little too young right now?
I just think it's a little early because there's no question. He has a brilliant offensive mind. But there's a lot more that goes into one of those jobs than being very good on one side of the ball. And particularly at his age, he's 29, 30 years old. And he's going to, now, I will say this, he's going to make a lot of money soon. But I just think one of these jobs, as tempting as it would be, there's a lot more that goes into this than being good on one side of the ball.
How much credit do you have to give Orgeron? You know, we're so quick to run some to Dabo and to Nick Saban. How about Ed this year and the job he's done?
Well, he's done it.
Hands off.
Yeah, I thought like mid-season, I said if these guys keep going in this direction with what they're doing and this historic offense, Ed Orgeron's got to be your coach of the year. I wrote that in October simply because he had the courage. I mean, they won 10 games last year, and most coaches, their reaction would be, well, we will tweak it here and tweak it there, but we won 10 games. And he looked – He gets beat 29-0 by Alabama and says, we got to do something radical because what we're doing will win 10 games, but it won't beat Alabama.
Right.
And he had the courage to walk into his offensive coordinator's room, Steve Ensminger, and says, we got to go to the spread, and I got a 29-year-old guy that's going to help us do it. And Steve Ensminger, to his everlasting credit, said, let's go.
Yep.
But for Ed Orgeron to have the courage – to make, because it could have blown up in his face. It really could have. But to have that kind of courage, he's done an incredible job.
Agreed.
Yes, he has. We're, of course, talking to Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart, here on the show. Obviously, national championship game on Monday. You got LSU, you got Clemson. Should be an awesome game. Tony, want to focus on Mississippi State for a little bit here. They end up firing Joe Moorhead after the bowl game. They lose 38-28 against Louisville in the Music City Bowl. Obviously, we know what happened during the game. Let's start with the merit of the decision and the timing. What do you make of the timing of the decision to fire him after the bowl game, Tony?
I thought it was kind of bizarre. I really did. I mean, if you weren't happy with what he was doing, and there were real reasons not to be happy with what he was doing, then you go ahead and make the change. Now, things happened before the bowl game. We know that now. We know there was a fight. There was a fight that kept the starting quarterback from playing in the game. That's pretty darn serious. And it was used as a pretext to say this guy doesn't have a good handle on what he's doing. But just, boy, when you pull that kind of trigger at that kind of time, it is just really, really hard as they are finding out.
Right, because, honestly, like not to mention nothing of recruiting and what that can mean there. I mean, your choices of the next coach are limited, right? Like you limit your decisions.
There's no question. And then, you know, they lost the guy to the New York Giants that they thought they put out, you know, who went to Mississippi State. They thought they had a chance to get him, and they didn't. But I will say this. John Cohen, the director of athletics, is a real smart guy. And they will come up with a quality coach. But, hey, they're still playing in the SEC West.
Yep.
That doesn't change.
Exactly.
That doesn't change.
Steve Sarkisian seems to be the guy who's getting the most buzz right now for that job. Do you like that idea?
I do. I mean, Steve has been a head coach. It didn't work out well for him, but I think he's proven over the years that he's got a good offensive mind, and he's worked for Pete Carroll. He knows how these things are going to work. So I think that would turn out pretty good. And you got look at what he did this year at Alabama. Of course, now if I had two of those four receivers, I'll bet you I could throw for a bunch of whole yards. So.
What kind of NFL coach is Matt Rhule going to be?
I think he's going to be good. I mean, Matt Rhule is, from all accounts, is a great organizational guy, people person, which is what you've got to be. And I think his style translates into working with pros. I mean, some coaches are all rah-rah and all that. Matt Rhule is more of a level-headed, hey, here's what we need to do. Here's why we need to do it. You need to do this. If you don't do this, we're going to do that. And I think he's a very, very likable but very firm kind of guy with really great people skills and football skills.
We are, of course, talking to Tony Barnhart. He's Mr. College Football here on the show. How about the turnaround of the Tennessee Volunteers? I mean, it feels like a decade ago we were starting this football season. You had Jeremy Pruitt making Titanic references, and everybody felt like this thing was over. Like it just felt like he was on his way out. And the way they end their year, they get the bowl win against Indiana. How much stock are you putting into that turnaround, and are you buying the Tennessee Volunteers?
Well, when they were 1-4, everybody was saying the most important question was, what is Jeremy Pruitt's buyout? Okay, that's where we were. And then all of a sudden, and what was interesting, though, is you could see the turn start to take place against Alabama. Now, they lost that game 35-13, but you could see that they continued to fight. They got a bizarre touchdown scored on them when the quarterback ran a play he wasn't supposed to run, and it got returned 100 yards for a touchdown, and, you know, on and on. But you could see that they were getting better. And then as the year went on, they got better and better and better, and then they had that incredible win against Indiana in the Gator Bowl. So they are headed in the right direction. Are they ready to challenge Georgia and Florida in the SEC East? No, they're not. But they are headed in the right direction, and there's a lot of positive energy in Knoxville, and you haven't been able to say that in a while.
Yeah, Memphis promoted from within, hired Ryan Silverfield, obviously, to replace Mike Norvell. And we saw from Pete Thamel yesterday that Mike McIntyre, former D.C. over at Ole Miss, a leading target, I guess, candidate for the D.C. job here. Just what have you thought about the transition to Silverfield? Do you think it'll work out as well as Memphis is hoping it will?
If you've got the guy on the staff, I think it's a great way to go, because you have the continuity of coaching, you have the continuity of recruiting, you have the continuity in style and all that kind of thing. So I would say so far so good. I mean, Memphis has done a great job, starting with, you know, Justin Fuentes, Mike Norvell. The culture, my point is, the culture is there, and if you can hire from within, that makes the culture a little bit easier to maintain.
Yeah, it does. Tony, what do you think about Mike Norvell at Florida State? I mean, he's brought, you know, most of his staffers from the University of Memphis. People feel a certain type of way about that, but, you know, that's probably to be expected, right? What do you think of you know, his potential and what he might do there in Tallahassee?
Well, he's shown he's got a very good organizational mind, knows offense, and at Florida State, there's no reason that Florida State is not a contender in the ACC. They've got to up their recruiting. They've got some facilities needs that they need to address, which have been there for a while. But I think he'll do well. Now, he's still playing in the same division with Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got to face that. But they should be as good as anybody in that league or better, with the possible exception of Clemson.
Urban Meyer, you think, just waiting on USC, Tony?
I think Urban Meyer's waiting on the right situation. And USC would certainly be one of those, and boy, I tell you what, do they need a fix real bad?
Absolutely.
And the problem is that their recruiting was just horrible in December. So I believe that situation is going to turn over. I really do.
Are you a believer in him, in that, you know, whether I've always thought he's a king in college, so why leave? Sort of like I always thought with John Calipari. Are you a guy who believes Urban could do it at both levels, could do it just as successful as the NFL as well?
Urban's got a brilliant mind for organization, and I think he has the personality. He could work with pros. Would he be better in college? Yeah, I think so. But almost every coach I've ever met wanted to give that a shot to see if their skill set translates into the highest level.
Right.
Hey, Tony, man, we appreciate the time, as always.
Thank you,
man.
Sir.
Thank you.
Okay, you bet.
Yep, he is Tony Barnhart, Mr. College Football. Always good to be joined by him. Yeah, listen, I mean, Urban, I thought, might get a little bit of a look with the Cowboys. You know, like, you felt like maybe that was going to be, because he was there for some game. I think it was maybe it was a Washington game.
We were talked about it. He was at the Redskins.
Yeah, he's at the Washington game. So you felt like maybe he's going to get a look.
He was doing some homework.
Right, right. He was going to get a look somewhere, but
I think he's waiting on USC.
Well, we know Urban Meyer is not the kind of guy who's just going to sit out. You know, like he's not just going to like be done with coaching. You know, he's going to get back in at some point, and I think you're right. Like I think there's too much smoke there with USC for him to not like be the first call when that job comes open.
It's such a power when he walks into the room. When it comes to recruiting. And these guys, again, and you could say the same thing about Matt Rhule. Now, he's program builder. And you hear the same thing, organizational skills so important. Most right. of these guys have got that. But I just do wonder, and I wanted the same thing with Matt Rhule, when you leave and that sort of power is with kids.
Yep.
You understand what I'm saying? Young men and sort of convincing them why you were the guy to not just lead them on the field, right, but to help make them into young men and all that kind of stuff. That's so much different than what you're trying to do with grown men who, in many cases, are making more than you. Now, not many will be making more than Matt than Rhule. My gosh, John, what's he, sixth highest paid, seventh highest paid in the NFL? Like it's unbelievable the trust that Carolina's what they're entrusting him with. That said, I've always thought that those guys that are successful in college, like Urban, why leave? But to Tony's part, it's proving it to yourself. That's why Beilein is in Cleveland right now, you know, over in the NBA, and you leave Michigan. We talked about that with Jeff Goodman. Guys got to prove it to themselves that they can do it at the highest level, and so there's always that. You can't account for that.
I want to read you a Dick Vitale tweet that just came across. It is perhaps the most bizarre tweet I have ever read on this app, okay? I mean, it's got to be. But I want to start. This is Dickie V, okay, that just happened. This was actually last night, and I'm just now seeing it retweeted into my timeline. Like many, I've been following the news involving the attacks on al-Assad bases in Iraq by Iran. Also, I've been checking Hoop News, and four teams should get a tip of the hat. Rutgers, Providence, Maryland, Boston College. They had wins over Penn State, Marquette, Ohio State, and yes, Virginia. Yeah. That tweet like started over here, okay, and then it ended with
got your college basketball.
Props to Boston College.
Yeah. Okay. All in the same, rolled into the same tweet.
That was a hell of a tweet, wouldn't you say?
He's just letting you know he's monitoring everything.
He is. That's
what Dickie wants you to know.
He's watching. He's watching foreign policy. He's watching Boston College basketball. Which, by the way, the reason that's interesting for Memphis is because Memphis right now is second in the country in opponent field goal percentage. Virginia is first. That gap.
Virginia was just lost.
Yeah, Virginia just lost last night to Boston College. Now, Boston College only shot about 44%.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think Memphis overtook Virginia in field goal percentage defense, but they're mighty close, Jason. They're mighty close to being the number one team in America.
They would have locked that down with James Wiseman.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, they're already second without him.
They're second in opponent field goal percentage.
I mean, that's the amazing thing is like when you have to take a step back, right? You kind of have to take a step back and just – really be honest about where this team is, right? I mean, they're top 10 in tempo, which is what they were last year,
they're
right?
They're 15th in defensive efficiency.
They're 15th in defensive efficiency. They're second in the country.
It's still second. And the opponent's field goal percentage in this one, opponent's effective field goal percentage, second in the country.
Yeah, they're second in the country.
That's pretty impressive.
Without a rim, like, I mean, like they don't have a rim protector. I mean, you wouldn't call Precious Achiuwa a rim protector, would you? I mean, he's a foreman who does everything for
Him, he changes shots with his activity.
Well, he does.
That's not, I mean, we figured paired with Wiseman, oh, that's two towers. But he wasn't known for that coming here. As some huge defensive presence.
Remember, he was not even a second teamer in the preseason.
His game's evolved. You saw that three hit late in that game.
No doubt.
I think it was his last field goal.
Yes, it
actually,
was.
Actually, they
it
needed
was.
More. He
it
ran
was.
Out of gas.
Yep,
and
with
you hate to put it all on his shoulders.
Oh,
that's
he was
unfortunate
gassed.
Why DJ wasn't there.
Yes.
See, it was so hard for them. They were working so hard for shots.
Yes, they were.
They're late. And again, you lose a easy bucket like DJ Jeffries, it gets even harder down the stretch. But back to the point, man, he's starting to show all of that game.
Yes, he is.
And I told you.
The lottery pick, you know? Like, he's showing that.
Folks thought Pascal Siakam, because he's more
right
swing guy
he is.
Than he is just put him under the basket and tell him to rebound.
Yeah, he could put the ball on the ground
That's
a little
what
bit.
I'm telling you.
You know,
and now you're
that.
Seeing him pull him up. Because, and I know he thinks of himself as that, like we've talked
right.
about. He's talked about it. He watches Kawhi. And he thinks of himself as that. And a lot of times, that's what you're going to end up being, because that's what you're focusing on in terms of the work and what you do on the floor.
He leads the Tigers in points. He leads the Tigers in rebounds.
Rebound.
He leads the Tigers in minutes. He leads the Tigers in blocks. I mean, he is carrying them
right now.
Did
you and I both pick him to lead the team in scoring? Now, it's for reasons that, you know, changed. And James Wiseman was on a roll and probably still would have been.
I'm pretty sure we both did pick Precious.
I know I did. I thought you did as well.
Yeah.
That's going to end up being right, but for a couple of different, some for layered reasons.
Yeah, like, I mean, if James, if he was still on the team, team is probably leading the team in scoring, given what we saw from him and the way that they just got the ball into him.
He was on a mission.
You know, but Precious has been, no one has stepped up more since the suspension and the departure of James Wiseman than Precious Achiuwa.
I'm not going to lie to you. I thought they'd be getting more from Boogie Ellis.
There's no doubt, man. There's no doubt about that. There is something amiss there.
And I think some of it's finding, you know, still trying to find that niche. We've seen a couple of games where he's been good and seems comfortable. But just for the season on the overall, I just have not gotten the sense that he's the same. You know, we talked about his swag coming in here and, you know, the kind of scorer he was. And it just doesn't feel – because, again, in a game where down the stretch you can't get a bucket – you know, you hoped when you were recruiting this class that a guy like Boogie Ellis, who's Mr. Bucket, could get you. He's still figuring it out. You can tell. And listen, that's most freshmen in this country, most freshmen in the nation are still trying to figure it out at this point. But I did think he'd be a little bit further along than he's been. Yeah.
Yep.
And that part of the reason why their offense hadn't been so good, I think.
No doubt. So, anyway, thanks to Tony Barnhart for joining us on the show today. Lots more to come here on the show. Mark Giannato going to join us at 12:25. Also, Tom Brady had a very interesting Instagram post. We'll get into that. The Rock made a comment on it. Lots more to come here on the show. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
The McDouble is here to add some sizzle to your day. And now you can enjoy it with McDonald's 4-for-4 deal. Choose between a cheesy McDouble or a delightfully crispy McChicken. Then add 4-piece chicken McNuggets, a small order of crispy fries, and a refreshing medium-sized soft drink like an ice-cold Coke for just $4. Now that's a tasty deal. Swing by and add some sizzle to your day with McDonald's 4-for-4. Price and participation may vary, cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. A routine is a good thing to have. And sometimes a routine is a good thing to break. Break free. Start your morning at McDonald's with a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, or sausage McGriddles for just $1 each. And add any size soft drink for just $1 more. Because if you don't deserve a morning that's a little easier and a lot tastier, who does? Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
At AT&T, we believe that access to affordable home internet brings you incredible opportunities. You can enjoy the power to explore a digital world of possibilities and connect with family, friends, and the things that matter most. That's why there's access from AT&T. If a member of your household is a SNAP participant, you may qualify for home internet at a discounted rate of $10 a month or less. No commitment, no deposit, no installation fee. Plus, get an in-home Wi-Fi gateway included at no extra cost. Call 1-855-220-5211 or visit att.com/access now to learn more.
SNAP refers to the Federal Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Pricing excludes taxes and fees. Includes 1 terabyte of data per month. Data overage charges apply. For details about data allowance, go to att.com/internet-usage. Geographic and service restrictions apply.
The new year is here, and I found the perfect way to shake up our shopping routine. It's Walmart's grocery pickup and delivery.
Oh, yeah?
We get the same prices as in-store, but at Walmart, they do the shopping for you.
So it's like a shopping shortcut.
A fairy grocery mother who just shops her grocery list so hard.
A secret sauce that makes running errands a cakewalk.
A life hack that hacks your life to get more life out of life.
Nice.
Use code WOWFRESH and get $10 off your first grocery pickup or delivery today. Walmart. Save money. Live better. Delivery fee applies. Delivery available in select markets. First order only. $50 minimum. Expires March 31st, 2020. Restrictions apply.
You're in charge of hiring. And Indeed has solutions, like online skills tests, which let a candidate show that they're the right hire. And we give you this magic music, which will inspire the perfect hire to begin clog dancing. Okay, there's no magic music, but skills tests... that's a for sure.
See why independent research by Silk Road shows Indeed delivers 3 times more hires than any other job site. Post your next job at Indeed.com/hire and try skills tests for free. Terms and conditions apply.
What's your case worth? Dial #529 on your cell. Pound law, that's all.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis's sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more bite, a little less spark. A little less fight, a little more spark. Close your mouth and open up your heart and maybe satisfy me. Satisfy
me. Hey, hey, hey. Some Elvis. You may hear a little bit over at the Wing Goo Woo. Billy Richmond may be playing some Elvis. It's his birthday, isn't it, John Mark? In honor of that, why don't you
It is Elvis' birthday, not yourself, Billy Richmond's.
That's who I'm talking about. Go get yourself some Wing Goo Woo in honor of Elvis' birthday. 5699 Mount Moriah or 7199 Stage Road. You will go to either one of those Wing Goo Woos, and you will get the same consistent quality, the best wings in this land. Over and over and over and over. And that's the best part about the Wing Guru, John, is the consistency.
Yes,
the consistency of the excellence.
There's a new Elvis-themed flavor over at the Wing Guru. It's called cultural appropriation. I'm kidding. That is not true. That is fake.
Oh, my Lord.
However, there are some flavors over there that you're going to know and you're going to love, like the 901.
I really thought there was a new Elvis flavor.
I was waiting for it.
Spicy taco.
Oh, John had some news.
The list goes on and on over at the Wing Guru, and they are all... much like Elvis's music, incredible.
You can get you some of that Triple J, too. That's Jaren's flavor, as you know. He was showing a little flavor last night with 11 in the fourth quarter. You can get some in honor of Jaren Jackson.
That's right.
Fourth quarter. Wing Guru, when you see Billy Richmond, please tell him that Jason and John sent you. Thank you very much.
Happy birthday, Elvis. Happy birthday, oh, Elvis.
Oh. I was looking through some photos the other day of a young Jay Smooth, and it was me sitting in a pink Elvis car. Back from the days when my relatives came into town and dragged us over there to his house.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, well...
you haven't toured yet, have you?
No, I'm not. Tonight, just to give you an idea of a way you can get involved, there's the Elvis Birthday Bash and Evening Tour at Graceland. Yeah, so you going to be at that? Tickets are $70 for adults. You can take young CJ, expose him to the greatness that is Elvis Presley.
Like it was important for my grandmother. I'm speaking to my black grandmother, wanted to see this man's house before she passed away.
My wife
and
worked there.
She took her grandkids.
At Graceland. Awesome.
Yeah, she was a tour guide there.
And I think back then you could see even more than you can see now.
Yeah.
But I hear it's still a very good tour, John. You might want to take Sam over there.
Yeah, John Stamos is a part of it, I'm pretty sure.
You're black. Was it grandma?
Yeah, did that confuse you? And a black grandma and a white grandma.
No,
I know that gets confusing.
Was she wanted, she's
you can tell, you can see the confusion in his face.
No.
Yeah, my black grandma wanted
grandma?
To see Elvis's, exactly. That's why I said it the way, wanted to see Elvis's home before she passed away. And she saw it more than once, quite frankly.
You might need to explain interracial.
They're from Missouri, Brad, right outside of St. Louis.
Okay.
Yep. You may have to explain the lineage to Brad one
day.
No,
I got the lineage. Well, I was just
one day we'll do Jason 23andMe.
She was
I could tell where you got hung up is,
yeah.
Wait a minute, your black grandma wanted to see Elvis? And that's exactly the case.
Okay.
She wanted to see his home and how he lived. And at that point, you could see much of the home. Like it was a leopard room and all
yeah.
that. I don't know if you could still see. But what you learned about Elvis, very vain man.
Very vain man.
Yes. Love looking at himself.
Yes.
Love looking at himself.
Yeah.
And, you know, in parts of my life. I'm kind of like him.
You had lots of mirrors in your
Four
house?
Four parts of my life. No. Just vain.
You just had a lot of
it. It's all about, you know, how do I look in this? Hey, how's this look on me?
Yeah. And right now you got a polo jacket on. Looks really good.
Well, thank you.
Looks
you
really
see what's on underneath? I got this for Christmas.
Oh, man. That's
oh,
it.
That
I'm trying
sharp.
To step it up a little bit.
You
know, I'm coming here
Very
usually
nice.
And just wear the hoodies, and I don't get back to that with the hat, you know, with
yeah.
the, this today. But I'm going to try to pick it up for 2020. Get back
yeah.
to my, you know, well-dressing self.
Yeah.
Okay, we have details on Ryan Silverfield's contract that we'll get into a little bit later in the show. But really quickly, what we didn't mention, we talked about John Morant. We talked about Jaren Jackson Jr. We did not mention Dylan Brooks, a.k.a. Light Skin Cat, according to Kendrick Perkins. That is his nickname for Dylan Brooks, Light Skin Cat.
That was a good tweet, I thought. Yeah, you should have did the whole of that. But yeah, in a tweet last night about how good the Grizzlies were,
I'm happy to
Perkins
read it.
Perkins is calling dude a light skinned cat, and yeah, they may be a playoff team. Sound like he was right there watching the game with Giannotto.
I'm telling y'all, this young core that the Memphis Grizzlies got is scary. With Ja Jackson and this light skinned cat Brooks are fun to watch, and they just might make the playoffs this year and get that number 8th seed.
Why does Perk? With so much knowledge, who mm-hmm. we love having on, act like he's just now got the rosters of each team this year. You know, and he's learning the names.
Yeah.
You know, like the Gobert
well,
thing. You understand?
Know.
Like, you know what I'm saying? When you know he knows these, and you know Brooks has been a while long enough to know, but he's acting like the light-skinned cat. You know that.
Yeah.
That
you know,
guy.
It's like he's just getting used to these rosters. Like you just downloaded the rosters this
year.
Yeah,
I think he's still getting used to the analyst work. You know, this is his first full-time year.
But the names seem like the easiest part when you've
right.
played the game and been
right.
around it. You know what I'm saying?
Another tweet from Kendrick Perkins this morning. It sucks when you think someone is dope and they turn out to be baking soda. Don't you hate when that happens?
No, yeah. I truly think he is profound, and he's found a little niche that's going to make him pretty popular in this analyst game. They have him on, Rachel Nichols loves him, has him on all the time on the jump.
Yeah, I definitely.
We've loved our hits with him.
Well, he's anytime, you know, we can get him. The thing about Kendrick Perkins is that he just doesn't care. You know,
he could have been a Tiger. That was the great part of that interview.
He doesn't have a filter necessarily.
Right,
you know what I mean? He's not going to mince words or anything like that. He's not worried about offending anybody.
Well, I think he's right about the light skinned cat. And is the light skinned cat getting enough credit? John?
Well, Kendrick Perkins gave him a lot of credit on Twitter.
I'm saying, is he getting enough credit here? We talk a lot about John Jaren. We did in the first, we certainly did in the first segment. And look, that down the stretch, you know, Ja had 10 in the fourth. Jaren had 11 in the fourth. They were the ones that shut it down for you. I want to say that Dylan's last basket came with about 4-something minutes left. And so those were but if you don't get the 28 from him last night, you're not winning that game.
No,
and
if you don't
get the 28 per that he's averaged against Minnesota and three wins against them this year, you're not getting the three wins. And so he has been, you know, whether it's his energy or whatever, when he is screaming, we've talked about this before, the hair's going wild and all that stuff, man, he's at his best, and they are 10-0.
Yeah.
I know Rob Fisher likes to bring up this stat, but they're 10-0 when he scores 20 or more.
Well, yeah, I mean,
when he's going, they get it done.
The last five games, he's averaging 20.8 points a game on 48.2% shooting from the field. Like, he's been really good.
So, and last night, I heard Jeff play we don't have the audio, but you won't need it. I can paraphrase it for you. Jeff play the audio. Brooks last night's talking about, well, we got a big three. Mm-hmm. You know, all of us can sort of get ours. Talking about John, Jaren, all of us get our 20. We're eating at one point, then we hand it off to the next guy. But, man, he was going lofty, bro. Says it could be LeBron
Clark,
and Dwayne
though?
And Chris Bosh, I don't know about that yet. It's a restricted free agent, right? Has he not convinced you? You know, I know we go back and forth on Dylan Brooks where, you know, usually some days you're like, man, we wish you'd gotten the right Brooks in the Oubre trade, would Dylan be out of here?
Right.
In other days, like when he plays Minnesota, you look at him and you say he is absolutely a piece of this thing going forward. I'm of that belief that he is. Aren't you?
Yes. I mean, I think he's played really well. Now, I mean, am I going to say big three? No.
You want to play this clip? Is you interested?
I'm not saying.
If you've got it, so for the listeners that didn't hear it.
And the confidence comes through here.
It's not really. You know, I just play. You know, I just want guys to find me, and you know, once I start getting off, you know, that opens up a lot. You know, John, Jaren, and then they start getting off, so it's like a, you know, a teeter-totter thing with us. You know, I get mine, then you know, Ja finds his, and then Jaren gets his, and then you got three guys with 20 plus, and you know, that's a trio like Paul Pierce and Ray Allen and KG and those guys. Like LeBron and D Wade and Bosh, you know? And, you know, that's what.
Yeah,
know,
I don't think we're at LeBron, D Wade, Bosh territory yet. Who's LeBron in this?
The hell of a comp.
Who's LeBron?
The confidence is, that's why I said lofty. Right?
Oh,
lofty comparison there. That said, I mean, they look like a big three last night. They look like a big three when they're playing Minnesota, that's for sure. I think most of us had told ourselves, well, Memphis still got to get a big three. Right. Even if you think Dylan's a part of this going forward, is he one of the three? But there are nights, John, and he's done it, at least 10 times this year, where he's gone over 20 and looked every bit like it. I think he's a piece. Is he part of a big three that becomes that?
Right.
LeBron, Dwayne, Bosh. I doubt it's that. I doubt he's a part of that. But he's definitely a part of this thing going forward. Because when Dylan Brooks is active, he makes folks around him better. He makes this team better. It's not just a deal where if Dylan Brooks is going off, right, no one else is doing, you're losing games. He's helping you win games. He's part of this reason you're a little bit ahead of schedule. He's been good this year. I just want to give credit where it's due.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, and he's been a big part of the reason why the Grizzlies have been able to win, you know, as much as they've won the last few weeks, you know. So I'm not going to go as far as he went last night, although I did appreciate the outfit, you know, the shades that he had on in the locker room. You know, I mean, I appreciate the swag, but not quite.
What I didn't expect from him, I guess, when the Grizzlies drafted him, and I was hoping, okay, that's a bucket right there. The Grizzlies got a nice offensive player because that was his MO at Oregon. What I didn't expect from him is offensive rebounds late in games in fourth quarters that help decide the game and stick backs. Like, his activity level is all the way there. When it's turned up, they're a successful-looking outfit, and he contributes greatly to that. So I've become a fan of Dylan Brooks, quite frankly. I wish it was a little bit more consistent, and I know he's been told that all the time, so there's no need to harp on that. But it seems to be coming, and it's certainly coming every time they play Minnesota.
Yeah, no, you're right.
So anyway, we'll come back. We got details on Ryan Silverfield's contract. Tom Brady had a nice post on Instagram. We'll get into all that and more on the other side. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Celebrating a decade as Memphis at America's very best. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, a radio.com sports station. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hey, it's Eric Hasseltine from the Memphis Grizzlies here to tell you about the best place to get a pre-owned vehicle in the entire Mid-South, and that is DeSoto Auto Sales. You can visit them on the web at DeSotoAutoSales.com or simply head on over to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch. Why DeSoto Auto Sales, you say? Well, their prices are fantastic. They've got over 250 cars on the lot, and they range in price from $8,000 to $30,000. Most of these cars are still under their factory warranty, so you're getting a great vehicle. They've been inspected 5 times before they hit the lot. And it's their selection. The lot is always changing. They're trying to get them out of there at the best price possible for their customers so they can clear the lot for more vehicles to come. Trucks, vans, sedans, SUVs, and they can finance you on the spot. They've got financing managers to explain all of your options. It's all there at DeSoto Auto Sales. You can see the entire selection at DeSotoAutoSales.com. Get a great car at a great price. What are you waiting for? Go to DeSotoAutoSales.com or hop on down to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch and visit DeSoto Auto Sales today.
What's better than watching football? Nothing. And with the Yahoo Sports mobile app, you can be watching the NFL free on your phone. Get live, local, and primetime games, including the playoffs and Super Bowl 54. Download the Yahoo Sports app now to watch free.
Do yourself a favor in 2020 and get yourself to Bounty on Broad. The place is drop-dead beautiful. The drinks are imaginative. All the wine is available by the glass.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.